Welcome to Merrickville.
Oh, it's Friday, Sydney, so you can have a drink. And if you are, enjoy one. But do it responsibly and don't do it whilst you're driving. If you're driving, listen to the show and enjoy it. That's what you should be doing today on the show. Some lucky person is going to be winning a trip to Vietnam for Kong Skull Island. We'll be revealing who that person with the enormous features is. And speaking of a person with enormous features, hi, James Matheson.
Oh, what, mate, what a segue.
I told you I was going to sledge you before we even got out of the gates.
Mate, and, you know, I love that just it works visually as well. People don't even have to ask what large feature they're talking about.
Mate.
The ocular region. That's what we're going for. Here, thank you. It's great to be on the show. Thanks for having us. Always welcome.
James Matheson joins me this afternoon. Good to have you here, Matho. We're going to talk about you and your career and talk about how you went into politics for 11 minutes and then you went, oh, that's a little bit like a job. Basically, this is just, it's a hijacking.
It feels like I've been handcuffed already.
Yeah.
What's this run sheet you put in front of me? This is a bunch of shit.
Great to be joined today by, I suppose, Virgin Merrickvillian, former television host from Australian Idol. And then come politician James Matheson.
Yeah.
Great to have you here, Matho.
Virgin Merrickvillian.
Yeah.
I knew that guy at school. He used to pick on him quite a bit. Virgin Merrickvillian. Good kid.
Mate, what have you been up to? Because I know that last year, it was 2 years ago, you were chaining yourself to trees, you bloody hippie. And then the trees got cut down, so that worked out well. And then you got into politics and you were genuinely running for the seat of, Warringah.
Okay.
Which is Tony Abbott's one. And I'm surprised that you thought you could beat him, given that the only people that can beat Tony Abbott are people in his own party.
Maybe I should have run as a Liberal backbencher. Yeah. would have had more chance.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just felt at the time that nobody, especially in that area, was speaking on behalf of younger people. You know, they're getting screwed left, right and centre with housing prices, TAFE getting gutted, university deregulation. And I was like, not many people who I know in the area liked him. So I thought, why doesn't someone run against him? You know, someone do this. But I realised very quickly that there's probably another half of the electorate who are, you know, 60 plus and their life has been pretty good thanks to the Liberal Party. And they're like, yeah, we got ours. Screw you.
Did a few people think that you were just mucking around when you were running?
Oh, yeah. It took a while to cut through.
I thought it was a stunt. I went, oh, Matthew's, he's working pretty deep here. Oh, no, hang on a second. He's really running.
He's gone meta.
Yeah.
Well, there are too many levels here. I was really serious because I feel like I've always been like an armchair politician. You know, when you watch the footy and like, get rid of the ball, kick it. Come on. But you don't, you know, actually have any skin in the game. I do that when I'm watching and listening to politics. I'm like, come on, this is ridiculous. You can't say that. And I was like, maybe, you know, all that.
You wanted to make a difference? Is that what you're saying?
When you say it with that tone, when you make it like that, it sounds like some sort of meaningless platitude.
Did you go to Oprah Winfrey High School?
What? Can you know one thing that you have like been passionate enough about that you've actually not just spoken about on radio, gone to a rally or actually?
Merrick Watts. Merrick Watts.
That's
my passion.
I've raised a lot of money for the Merrick Watts Foundation.
Yeah, oh, you betcha. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely committed. Every Christmas, special hamper for Merrick Watts delivered from me.
Well,
big
not
heart.
All
big
of
heart
us
of Australian.
I like you, Merrick. No, some of us want to put, you know, a dog in the fight.
Mate, let's talk about a dog in the fight then. This you would have seen the shenanigans going on in Redfern with there's a young bloke, an old bloke called Charles Abdullah, whose house has been painted blue and the council trying to tell him that he can't do that. What are your thoughts on that as a quasi-politician?
I mean, it's his house. It's his pride and joy. You know, we don't own many things that are truly ours and we can express ourselves with, apart from, you know, your lovely outfits that
Thank you.
You get probably styled. Do you've got a stylist here at Triple M who puts that together?
Yeah. Yep.
So that's the way you express yourself. But this guy, he's like, what have I got that I can actually express myself with? Probably my home, my pride and joy. You know, you can manicure your lawn, you can make a beautiful white picket fence, but you can't choose the colour that you want.
Mm.
Do you remember Sam Newman a few years ago? He had on his massive frontage in Melbourne a mural of Pamela Anderson. And that's all right.
That was weird.
He's weird, mate. I don't know. Councils have shut down, by my estimation, in the last few years, kids' lemonade stands, cubby houses that aren't regulation.
It's, you know what?
Sausage sizzles.
George Street.
I'm talking about big things, mate.
Sorry. No, not just George Street, just roads in general. Just go, let's just make some green lanes for bikes that no one will use. Okay.
There's a point where we've got to go, okay, what's the government there for? To help us with basic infrastructure, you know?
Yeah, but here's the thing. The council's meant to work for the people, not the people work for the council. It's the tail wagging the dog. I went off on this yesterday to a point. Well, it wasn't even being funny. It wasn't even trying to be funny. I just teed off because I don't like council bullying. Now, I'm going to open up the phones in a second. 133 53. If you've got a case of being bullied by your council, give us a call. I had an instance years ago in my old house where I had a balustrade. I was doing some renovations to a window, right? And just a dormer window. Small thing, no big deal. And when the guy came around to tick it off a council for the inspection, he saw that the balustrade at the top of the staircase, the tiny little balustrade, about 2 metres long, he pulled out his tape and measured it, and he went, oh, that's 900. And I said, yep, so? And he goes, well, that's got to be 1,000. And I went, hang on a second, well, it's built. I bought the house like this, that was there, I haven't changed that. And he said, well, unless you bring that up to 1 metre, I'm not going to sign off on your window. And I went, but they're two totally different.
You're not even here from a balustrade.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I said to him. And he said, well, here's the thing. You either do that or I'm not going to sign off on it. So I went and I said to my mate, there's the builder, I said, just run a little strip wire, you know, the little tension wires, run it across the top of the balustrade where the head of the balustrade meets, and that'll take it to 1,000. And he goes, yeah, no dramas, easy. So we did it. Guy comes back and he looks at it and he goes, nah, it's 990. And he said, I'm not signing off. And I said, this is no joke, Matthew. This is what I said. This is how much of a tool I am. I said, okay, I did a little bit of research. You don't have a legal leg to stand on, buddy. Here's the thing. What you're trying to do is enact a retroactive law that doesn't exist. And here's another thing, friend. I know people at A Current Affair, and they would love to do a story about you holding me over this balustrade. And the guy just went, what? And I said, I'm not mucking around. So I rang council and I said, one of your inspectors has just done this to me, and next thing is illegal and to television networks. And they just went, no, no, no.
And then Tracy Grimshaw was at your door. That's the power
what
you
a tool,
have.
Though.
People don't realize. People don't realize you've got Grimshaw on speed dial.
Yeah, 100%. Trace, I'm having trouble. Yes, it's the balustrade again. Yes, the balustrade. Same balustrade. 133 53. Let's open up the phone, Sydney. You can have a whinge. You can name your council. I've got no problem with that at all. 133 53. Has your council tried to bully you? Time for some payback. Asking a 133 53. Has your council bullied you? Because this is off the back of the story about the bloke in Redfern who painted his house a colour that they didn't like. Clover Moore said, I don't like that blue. Has to get another colour.
So they've given him like a colour palette of acceptable colours from Dulux?
Well, he went and said, oh, how about I'll do dark grey? Because there's a few others dark grey. And they said, no, not dark grey.
So is Arctic
there,
green?
Is there any colour? Is there any colour?
Yeah.
What about camouflage?
Yeah, vibrant moss.
What about it's my house? No shortage of calls coming through with people with complaints about council. I just talked about how I got bullied by my council over a balustrade and then just pulled the massive wanker card of I'll talk to A Current Affair. I have no context there. They would never.
Do you know who I am?
No, he didn't. I tried everything. He goes, oh, you're Rosso? And I went, no.
No, for God's sake.
This is not working. Stephen on Scotland Island. Hello, mate.
How you going?
Really good. Have you been put under pressure by your council, have you?
I've just been let down by their uselessness.
Okay. All right. Give us a story. This is what it's for. It's a whinge file.
Lady next door gets a DA. No construction certificate. No inspections. Builds whatever she wants. Three extra buildings on the back. Double story. Decks out into pit water. They do nothing.
And
you're furious.
And we buy the block of land 2 years later and we say, what the f***? And they say, oh, it's all passed.
Okay, thank you, Stephen. There,
just technical issue. Just, there.
Yeah, with his swearing. There, we've got...
Now what's happened, because of the beauty of Stephen, is we can't go to any more calls.
What? Unless, what if I swear?
Well, no, then we'd be in real trouble.
Then it's just me. Then you drop out and I'm having half the show. And nobody wants that.
Oh, God.
What we might do is we'll go to an ad break. We'll get ourselves set again. We might take another call on the other side of the average.
Or if you'd like to call and you're furious at Stephen for swearing, we'll also take those calls.
Gay in Ermington. Hi, Gay. How are you?
Good, thanks, Merrick. How are you?
Yeah, really good. All right. What was your instance with the council?
Well, we built our house in Parramatta Council in 2008. We have new neighbours who have taken offence to the noise of our air conditioner.
Oh, those people.
Yeah.
What time are you running the aircon? Up until what time?
Up until 10 p.m. of a night, because that's all you're allowed to run your air conditioner to.
Wow.
Well, hang on a second. You're only allowed to run your air conditioning until 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah, from 7 a.m. of a morning till 10 o'clock at night, Monday to Friday, and from 8 a.m. Saturday, Sunday, or public holidays until what? 10 o'clock.
What? Gay, hang on a second. Is that a Parramatta Council ruling? No. Is that across the board, is it?
Most councils.
Do you know
across
that?
Across the board.
Now, is it? Apparently, I don't think that's in my council. I don't do it. I mean, I light outdoor fires until probably 11 o'clock at night, bonfires.
You've got a generator running right now.
Yeah, look, absolutely. I mean, I've got a sword fight going on at 9:30 tonight, so I don't know what... This just sounds like controlling mix. That's outrageous. 10 o'clock at night?
How have they voiced their displeasure?
Well, they complained to council. Council came out and they said that they didn't find it offensive, but they were allowed to go seek someone to come out with a decibel meter and record it.
Oh, come on!
It gets better. They've even called the police on us.
For a noise complaint.
They wanted the police to come out to get us to turn off the air conditioning, and this is at 6 o'clock at night.
Come on. I've got to be honest, Gay. This is daking me crazy.
It's air conditioner.
Without them, you know, life's good.
Imagine that. The police take the call. And what's the problem, Gay? It's the Fujitsu again.
Hey, Mez, it's time to do this.
Oh, excellent.
Merrickville's giving you a trip to Vietnam. Thanks to Kong Skull Island. All hail the king. In cinemas now. Triple M.
How good does Kong Skull Island look? You haven't been to see it yet, have you, Matt?
Oh, it's amazing.
But you'll go and see it.
Kong Skull Island.
Mate, all this stuff. For the last 2 weeks, I think, we've been running this competition. Basically, if you've got an enormous piece of anatomy, you take a photo of it, you put it on our website, and we tease you a little bit on air first, and then you go in the running to win a trip to Vietnam.
It's like a circus freak show.
Kind of. And honestly, there were so many good applicants, but it comes down to just one, and I'm very, very pleased to announce the winner of our competition to go to Vietnam for Kong Skull Island. And it goes to a man who has not but one, I would say three, massive parts on his body. His name is Mark. He's from Coogee, and we've got him on the line now. Hello, Mark.
Hey, Mark.
Congratulations, son. You're going to Vietnam.
Thanks very much. I'm delighted.
Mate, you know what's incredible about this? The reason why I think you got over the line is because you've got a massive nose, but you've upsold the combo there like it was a McDonald's pack, and you've just gone with a huge eyebrow and large forehead. You've got it all going on there.
That's great. Thanks very much.
Yeah. And, you know...
He's really pleased. I mean, this is the most backhanded compliment that I've ever heard.
I know, yeah.
In your defence, I'm looking at your picture here, and I've got to tell you that the guys have actually drawn red arrows to your prominent features.
I didn't need to. They're there.
You have got a bit of Liam Neeson about you.
That's not awesome.
If he'd, fallen out of a moving car.
That's exactly what I said.
It's not so bad.
That's exactly what I said. I said if Liam Neeson, if he'd been bashed horrendously with a bat. That's how Mark looks. Mark, it doesn't matter, mate. The important thing is, and here's the thing too, Mark, I think, are you Irish?
Yeah, Irish on St. Patrick's Day, yeah.
Mate, luck of the Irish. How good is that? Mark, congratulations, mate. Go out and see Kong Skull Island because you are going to go to Vietnam where it was made, mate. I hope you enjoyed. Have a great time.
Great. Thanks, Merrick. Cheers.
Thanks for being part of the show, champ. Well done. All you have to do is just have like a massively minging head and you can win on the show.
Yeah, it's one of the few victories you have in life with a rough head, but yeah, take what you can get.
And we just threw it out there because off the back of the news, we heard that a Rex flight had one of these small, I think it's a Saab, style propeller aircraft. One of the propellers just pissed right off.
Just fell off.
It's Friday. Sorry, knock it off early. I mean, you guys stay for the tiny primers. I'm out of here. It fell off. But the plane landed safely here at Mascot and everyone's safe. And, you know, full commendation to the pilots for getting that bird on the deck and completely unharmed.
Yeah, in many ways, I'm more likely to fly with them now.
That's what I said, 100%.
If stuff goes down,
100%.
The boys with the skills.
Like with Qantas.
And girls, yeah.
You know, like when Qantas and they had that jet engine fell off over Singapore with Richard De Crespigny, the pilot. And he just went, I'll just land this bird. That makes me confident.
You know Sully, that movie about the, I think it was American Airlines flight that had to land in the Hudson River.
Yeah.
Their actual sales of flights and tickets and bookings went up 100%. After that. Because they were like, man, these guys have got it.
That's it. Back a winner in a clinch. Damn right. I'm going to get a
This is a stunt. You know what? I wouldn't be surprised if this is a stunt. 100%.
100%. You know what? They've just tricked me. I've just went online and booked a ticket to Dubbo. Bam! They got me. Well played, Rex. Oh, that's probably slanderous. Hello, Nathan. You're a pilot. Do you know something? Are you a pilot? Do you know something about how to land a plane with a disabled engine?
No, my sister's a flight attendant. She was actually on the Qantas flight that the engine blew up on the way to Singapore about 5 years ago.
Is that the one that's QF-32?
Yeah, that's the one. I think they got a secret name for it between the flight attendants. But, it's still flying around. But, yeah, she was saying that they glide. They use the air and just go up and down. But I think they need at least 20,000 feet to be able to do it.
Yeah, man, that stuff impresses me. Like, that's the same. And if not for a second would you just go, all right, if somebody's landed a plane safely after that, you just go, oh, I'm fine with that guy.
Does your sister pull this story out at every single dinner party to the point where you're like, oh, my God, not the bloody Qantas story, Jacinta.
Shut up.
Yeah, I think she's just stopped using it.
Oh, God, does she ever bring home little mini cans of beer? Don't. Actually, that's a whole other conversation. We've got another pilot on the line, also happens to be a part-time celebrity, James Curley. Hello, James Curley.
Merrick and Matho, what a ring that's got.
The great man. How are you, Curls?
Hey, really good, Matho, really good. What a stellar effort from the Rexar gents and ladies.
Mate, you're a proper actual real pilot.
Yeah, not the big planes, the little ones, single engine planes. But, you know, if you lose a single engine plane, you've got a glide rate. So you've got a bit of a buffer where you can sort of glide in to the nearest airport or field. But, this sort of weather today, losing half your power, or some of the twin engines, you lose up to 70% of your power when one engine drops out. So it's a magnificent effort to put the pan-pan call through, let Sydney know and get it down and everyone home safe for the weekend.
Yeah, I understand a couple of those words, but I'm going to nod and smile.
Did you say take your pants down and then land?
Split the pantan core.
Did you say that? You split your pants and then you put it on the ground? Is that what you say? Because I would split my pants, girls.
Keep it
right
clean,
now.
James. We've already had to dump once in this show, mate.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, girls, if you reckon it's about being able to glide it down, but my question is this, right, is if one engine is knackered on one side, how does it not tip, you know, how does it, like, you know, not bias to one side?
That's a good scientific question, Mez, and I'm probably, you know, one of the worst pilots in the country, so I can't answer that one.
I'm never flying with you, Curls. You are...
yeah, Curly Airways. It's going down.
Oh, wow. This is why celebrities shouldn't fly. This is ridiculous. Well, it's good to know
I think it still works. The whole thing's built so solidly. It's not sort of pulling it one way or the other. It's still using the aerofoil to keep the lift there. And as long as there's power pulling it forward... The aerofoil lifting it up. If that,
you did then. You just knew words. You just used words that you knew we wouldn't know, like aerofoil and stuff like that. Which I know is what you wrap up your sandwiches in. Joined this afternoon by TV host James Matheson. You would probably know him from his time on Australian Idol. How long ago was that, man?
I think I did 7 years and probably started in 2003. So
you've had a fair break from it.
Years ago, mate.
If they brought it back, would you do it again?
Oh, mate, if they pay me as much as you get to go into the jungle or not a celebrity, then I might be interested.
Mate, that's your next move. Would you go into the jungle?
Oh, my God. What did Tom Allen get? Oh,
600 grand.
600 grand. Mate, you could send me Siberia
grand. There's not a lot I wouldn't do for 600 grand. I'm not going to lie. I don't want to talk about it.
I would eat anything for 600 grand. Okay.
Can we get 600 grand?
No.
Okay. Would have been funny. I want to talk to you about a reality program. A couple of things. First piece of news, Georgia Tripos. You might remember she was a contestant on the most recent version of The Bachelor. Remember her?
Oh, yeah, Georgia. Lovely girl.
Yeah, just been arrested along with her friend, Christina, for allegedly running a drug syndicate.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Trafficking ice and cocaine on Craigslist.
Okay. That is a surprise.
I swear to God, I thought we were going to see her on MKR or something. No, straight to Craigslist and ice trafficking.
Is
allegedly.
That where you buy ice these days? You go to Craigslist? Like, I thought you had to hang around some sort of seedy back alley at 4 in the morning.
I don't know. I didn't. I mean, I know they say it's accessible. Sure is. here's a reality program in Russia. This is called Game 2. This is new. This has just come out today. Game two, Winter 2 is a Hunger Games style reality TV show where male and female contestants seek to stay alive in the wilderness populated with bears, wolves for 9 months. Every person who survives receives $1.6 million.
So you survive if you win the money if you don't die.
Mm-hmm. And right. Here's the thing: organisers have boasted that everything is allowed, including murder.
Right. Okay.
They do say, look, if you do murder, you may have to answer to the police. But we, as a television production company, we're not going to put limitations on you. If you want to murder, you do your murder, you do your heinous crimes, but we're going to film it all, and then later on, the police may have an issue. No joke. And so you have to be over 18 and mentally sane.
So it's not really kid-friendly. So it's family-friendly viewing, I'm imagining not.
Fighting's legal. Alcohol is completely permitted. So is smoking. Anything, really. Murder is also permitted. I'll say that one more time. Murder's allowed. I mean, the police might have a problem, but the producers don't. That's okay.
It's Russia. They are so just out there.
On it, aren't they?
So off the hook that... There's stuff that you can't even conceive that they think is all right over there.
It's hosted by Vladimir Putin.
Pauline Hanson's a big fan of this show.
She would love that.
But the insanity of this concept, James and Mez, I thought I'd throw a few others at you to see a bit of a quiz. Tell me if this is a real reality TV concept or not from around the world. Okay. All right, you ready? Okay. First one's called The Great Pottery Throwdown. Ten contestants are set various pottery tasks, testing their skills, patience, and ability to master different pottery techniques. Is that a real show? Or a made-up show?
Okay, hang on a second. Is it people who are not virgins? Are they in this program?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't have thought that The Great British Bake Off would be a huge reality show success, but that is massive. So I'm thinking maybe in the sort of artsy, crafty world that this is a hit, probably in the UK.
It was a real show in the UK, based very much off The British Bake Off.
I'd like to watch the Great Jamaican Bake Off. Oh. It's just months of Jamaicans just go, so baked. Have you made anything?
No. I mean... Georgia Tripos from The Bachelor. I mean, maybe she could be in The Meth Batch.
Ella. Oh, that's
you know,
good.
That's her future there.
Yep. Okay.
All right, here's the next one. Go. Naked and Afraid.
It's real. Oh. I've seen it. I watch it.
Mate, that sounds like my entire 3 years at university.
How do you think you get a job at Triple M?
All right, we'll skip to the next one.
Okay.
Finding Elvis. A group of conspiracy theorists set out to prove that Elvis is still really alive traveling to Alaska where they believe he is hiding.
That's real.
That's made up.
Ah!
I've got time.
Oh, it's not Alaska. Is it?
We've got time for one more before we go.
All right.
Who's your daddy? An adopted girl has to figure out which one of the 8 men is her real father. If she chooses correctly, she wins $100,000.
I wore a condom.
If she chooses incorrectly, the man she chose wins the money.
Oh, I mean, I think, you know, Maury Povich isn't a million miles away from this. So I think somewhere in Asia or Eastern Europe, this would be a reality TV show.
That was a real show in America. It lasted one episode before.
It though. I want to watch that one episode. James Matheson, mate, great to have you in the studios. Thanks for dropping by. I'll let you go out and have a couple of cans for your Friday and enjoy the rest of your weekend.
I'm heading to Scruffy Murphy's with the Irish Bros and to drink semi-responsibly.
They are going to smash your face in.
It won't take much.
Have a great weekend.
See ya.
Like a lot of people, I'm considering about how I'm going to balance parenthood and caring for my children with the gigantic hangover I intend to give myself. And it is a conundrum that I face quite regularly, is how do I be a great dad and do all the things, the activities that I need to do on a weekend, plus also do the activities that I like to do, which is have some cans. Please.
See, Merrick, I'm only new to this because my daughter's only 7 months old. But Leon, your other producer, does not understand what this is like.
He doesn't know what it's like.
No, he's footloose just, and fancy free.
He's full throttle all the time. You know, he's like a Dodgem car. There's actually, it's all on or it's all off.
Occasionally, you know, a carny has to jump on his back to get him out of the corner.
There's always a carny there just going, you're just smashing into things now. You've already hurt a child. That's Leon. He's the dodging car of the drinking world.
Yeah. Whereas you and I are the teacups. We have to sit in there and it's a certain pace.
And look, I've got, so let's just look at my life. After work tonight, we've got school disco for my daughter. That's a thing. She's got school disco. She's very excited. I love my little girl and I like to be a good dad. I reckon I am a good dad. I like to get involved in those things. But then, you know, kids have got lots of activities and sometimes they don't blend well with my drink my hangover. My time.
Your hobbies. Well,
you know, I like to have a few and watch the footy, and yeah. I don't bounce back all that well anymore. I'm 43. I don't bounce back like I used to. And so sometimes, you know, there's been occasions where, there's always a kids' party. There's kids' parties all the time. You know, my kids are 7 and 5. There's a kids' party every 11 minutes. And there has been occasions, and there was one occasion last year where I was very seedy and I went to a kids' party with my little girl. It was a princess party. And Georgie couldn't do it. And I said, please, I swear to God, I will do anything. I will buy you a car if you do this. I'm so hungover. I can't be around humans. Because I'm also too massive. Hangover. Let's do some sweating awkwardly.
It's
just like, why is that man sweating? I don't know. He's around children. Not a good combo.
Yeah, all you want is more sleep and quiet.
Yeah.
And they're two things you are not getting at kids' parties.
Some kid runs up with a handful of glitter and throws it in your face. You just go, oh. So last year there was an occasion where I was quite hungover. I was at the princess party and I went, I can't deal. I cannot deal with this. So I pretended to take a phone call on my phone. Went, oh, excuse me. Sorry. To the parents. The parents are all lovely. They're great. It was just me.
Yeah.
And I was all sweaty and weird and clammy and stuff like that. And it was winter and I was sweating. I said, excuse me, I just got to take a phone call. Went outside, got into the car, reclined the seat all the way back, pulled my hoodie over my head and went to sleep. Slept through the entire party and then they were looking for King's dad. And he's asleep in the car like a homeless man. So this weekend, kids have got art tomorrow. They go and do like a arts and crafts thing there. So I go to take them to the arts and crafts thing. And then what I do is I go around the corner where I know there's a couch, like it's in a hall, but I know there's like a little secret room. And I go in there and I have a little sleep on the couch.
There's 7 other dads looking defeated, having a nap as well.
There's a bloke, seriously, there's a bloke last week. He walked in and looked at me and goes, oh, he's nailed this. Look at him. Oh,
you're going to get there early now. He's going to reserve that.
That's my couch. That's my weird old piss-stained couch that I want to sleep on in a community hall. It's so weird. 133353, I want to ask you, Sydney, mums and dads, what have you got to take your kids to this weekend? And it might have been any weekend, but this weekend, and you may just have yourself a little hangover. Maybe tomorrow, you know, you've got something on. You've got a big event on. Maybe you've got a wedding. Maybe you've got something, you know, a party or something yourself. But then on Sunday, you've got to go to Pony Club.
Oh, I reckon princess parties would be hard to top, surely.
Oh, yeah. You know what? The one thing that's not bad is like anything indoor, like an ice skating rink or something like that, where it's cool and it stops me from sweating publicly.
Stop unfortunately, your public sweating.
Oh,
please.
Man, it's not good. When you've got the alcohol sweats and everyone just goes, God, he's a show. What's wrong with that man? It's always me. 133353, parents, what have you got to take your kids to this weekend with a hangover? Great to see that the ladies have called through. Thanks for making it me feel a little bit better about this. We've got Beck and Kasula. Hi.
Hey.
How you doing?
Good, thanks. Good.
Okay. What do you have to do with a hangover with your kids? What's the activity?
Little kickers tomorrow morning for the 2.5-year-olds.
Oh, 2.5?
Yeah.
Oh,
it's going to be enjoyable.
Good on you, Beck, because 2.5, I mean, that's an age where you really don't have to engage too hard if you don't want to. You know, you can just put them in front of a TV. But you've got them out doing kickers tomorrow morning, 8:30 a.m.?
Yeah, 8:30 and then swimming straight after.
And then swimming?
Yeah.
Oh, geez, that is a massive...
And, Beck, I imagine that at Little Kickers there's a fair bit of screaming going on.
Oh, they're not. There's about 35 to 50 kids. And yeah, they're all around the same age. And then you've got another room with the older kids next door.
Oh. Is there a urine-soaked couch around the corner? It's not in the same hall Merrick has the arts class, is it?
No.
There's one of those really cold aluminium seats that I could sit on.
Beck, what about when you know, because I've been this, most parents have, you go to swimming and you're a bit seedy. And there's two things you can do, right? Because if you just sit down and watch the kids swim, if they've got classes, whatever, the noise that goes on in an indoor swimming centre is just mind-bogglingly bad for your brain, isn't it? You know,
yeah.
When the kids are squealing and it's going, oh!
Everything, well, I have to get in. It makes it 10 times worse.
So you get into the pool. Here's the thing. You get those little earplugs that, you know, stop getting waterlogged in your ears. You whack those in and just spend all of the time under the water with a snorkel.
I could deal with that.
Yeah, that's the
pressure for the headbutt, but it would be pretty good.
Yeah, keep away from the kids. That is just the worst. It's like ice picks going into Liam. You don't understand when you're at the pool.
But you love your kids, don't you?
I love my kids, and I love doing activities with them.
But you love your drinking.
Well, that's, you know, I put the kids first all the time. Hello, Hannah.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm doing good.
What do you do with your kids when you've got a bit of a hangover?
Oh, I've got to take my sister to a Little Mix concert.
What's a Little Mix concert? What's that?
It's this five girl band and it's terrible.
What, hang on, what is it? How have I not heard of this, Little Mix? Hannah, are you there?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. How have I not heard of this? I'm a dad. I've got a five-year-old girl. What is it?
No, they're terrible. They're skanky.
Can you sing us some, Hannah?
No, it's all auto-tuned.
Hang on. Is this a live act or is this like...
It's live. It's five girls and they dance around and it's terrible.
I think producer Leon's actually trying to get us some of this... audio of Little Mix so I can play it to you, Mez. But Hannah, where's the...
I think Leon's gone to... Is it called Little Minx? Because I think he goes... Oh, Little Mix. Oh, I thought it was Little Minx because he goes out... Because five dancing girls... You do tend to see five dancing girls on a weekend.
I think we've actually got some...
Oh, no, really? Yeah. Okay, all right. Hannah.
This is apparently Little Minx. Why should be enough for you?
Oh my God, I can't even tell you. Like, I'm sober and that hurts me deep.
Now imagine you've had 12 beers.
Oh, the next day. No, you know, imagine this after for some random reason you've drunk ouzo or rum and then you hear a bit of this the next day. Oh, fire. I reckon I'd make it. Of course, tonight, Triple M will cover the football for you from 6 p.m. And part of the call team, of course, is Ryan Girdler. Joins me in the studio now. Great to have you here, Girds.
Great to be back, Mez, after that win by the Panthers over your Tigers on Sunday.
It was literally...
What's going on with the Tigers, Mez?
Mate, I was hoping you might be able to tell me that.
I don't know. Look, I'm just wondering. They've got four of their key players off contract next year, and they want to know who's going to be the coach. Have the Tigers administration not seen enough in Jason Taylor over the last couple of years to know whether he's the man they want to lead into the next couple of years? Because I don't think they're going to be able to sign those four guys until they make a commitment at that level with who's going to be coach
not. Do you reckon it is a case of coach over players at the Tigers? Do you reckon? But I mean, the other thing too is if the Tigers do get another coach, then there's nothing to say that the players will stay for that one.
Yeah, but they want to know who it is. And unless the administration make a commitment, I mean, the guys need to make a call. They need that. Unless, say, that one way or another, the players are going to be told who's going to coach next year or they're not going to make a commitment. You lose those four guys, Tigers fans, and I mean, it's the heart and soul of your club for the next 10 years.
Well, on the weekend, 30 minutes in, I thought the Tigers might be a bit of a show. I thought if whoever gets the first try will probably win this game, and they did. Anyway, let's not talk about that result. Mate, I missed last night's game, but it was. We'll get to tonight's game in a second, but just very quickly, Benji Marshall, first time in a Broncos jumper. It was, he went to lock, and that must have been a bit of a change for Benji. I didn't see the game. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, look, I think last night, Benji, one of the forwards for the Broncos pulled out, I think, during the day, so he was a late inclusion. And yeah, look, he went on in the middle there and played probably about, 30 minutes. They did a great job, the Broncos. You know, it was a really seesawing game. Mm. But the story was really Billy Slater's return and obviously his impact in the game after, two seasons off. Quite incredible.
We all thought he was gone for all money. He had quite a serious injury.
Yeah, two shoulder reconstructions. And the way that Billy plays and, the places he puts his body make him susceptible to the serious injury. And everyone held their breath last night, not just the Melbourne Storm fans, but rugby league fans in general. He's the guy that we all love in our game, and he hasn't got a lot of years left. He's 33 now, so to see him back and hopefully going to have another good year will be just good for the game.
It's incredible that he comes back, when his window for playing is probably another a year or two, you'd be thinking. So that's a great commitment of character to get himself back into form so he can only play, maybe two seasons.
Yeah.
Mate, tonight, 6 p.m, the game kicks off. I've got to tell you, I said this to you a couple of weeks ago when the Bulldogs were playing at home at Belmore, that I love getting in the car at 6 p.m. and listening to a game at 6 o'clock. Now, I know that it's controversial because fans can't get to the grounds and everything like that. Won't matter tonight because the Bulldogs are playing the Warriors in Dunedin.
Yeah.
Which is a home ground, a home game for the Doggies.
They've been doing it for the last 5 years. I think it might be their last season. They obviously need to make some decisions whether they're going to do it again next year. But so far it's been successful for them. With 5 out of their last 6, they've taken over there and actually won. They lost last year, but it's an interesting one this year. They're going to Dunedin, which is the Otago Highlanders home ground. The funny thing about this is Forsyth Barr Stadium, and it's undercover. So they've got a transparent top on it and real turf, which is kind of like having a wooden leg and a real foot. But
I don't know how long you worked on that for today, Gert, but it got me. That was well done.
Yeah, so it's they don't play a lot of
rugby. We're not going to the bunker on that one. No need for the bunker.
Anyway, who cares about the game?
Mate, let's talk very quickly, if we can, about the Bulldogs. They've got their own issues with coach and players as well. I mean, the Bulldogs are able to turn their season around. They're not having a great start. But you've got to think the Warriors are only a half a chance to beat them there, even though it is in New Zealand.
Yeah, look, I like the Dogs tonight. I thought they showed some really positive signs last week against the Roosters. Played a really upbeat, energetic style. And look, they were really unlucky. They scored early, and the Roosters, one of the form teams of the competition, Mez. So they sort of came back. Their combinations are... You know, they look like they've been a team playing together for a long period of time. And, I thought the Dogs were unlucky last week. I think they'll put on another good performance tonight. Being it's undercover, the conditions will be good. And I think they might get away with a win.
Yeah, look, I think they've got to. I think they've got a lot of pressure, obviously, on Desi Hasler as well. There's a lot of pressure on those. Yep. A lot of pressure on a lot of clubs, coaches at the moment, you know. Yep. Brookvale as well. There's lots of pressure all around the grounds. But
that's the name of the game. I mean, anyone that doesn't expect pressure, and a lot of people say, oh, it's not justified. Well, the fact of the matter is, I mean, it's a high-pressure sport, and coaches come out of last season. They come in with records, they're existing. It's not like everyone starts with a clean slate. So the people that say, oh, coach is under pressure, it's not fair after round two. The fact of the matter is, I mean, that's the sport in which we play. You know, there's a lot of coaches under pressure. There's a lot of players under pressure. There's a lot of administrators under pressure. And that's just the game that it is. So I think people just need to accept that.
And the coaches get paid a lot of money.
They get paid good money.
Then, you know, they go out and they can spend on whatever. I mean, look at Wayne Bennett. He spends all of his money on personality. He just... with that, we'll leave it there. Gerds, we'll catch you from 6 o'clock with Dan. And Mick Ennis in the box tonight with you guys tonight?
No, I don't think Mick's with us. It's just Dan, I, and Billy.
Billy Harrigan. See you then, Gert. Leon, my producer, has got a list of people who'll be appearing on the program next week, and I'm going to rate them out of 10.
All right. We've got Justin Hamilton, comedian.
Oh, Hammo's good. He's good for a 7.5.
What about Lawrence Mooney?
Ooh, Moon Man. He's always good for about 7.5 and 8. We'll give Moon 8.
Chris Taylor?
Chris Taylor, 2.5.
Yeah. Tom Ballard, comedian?
8.5.
Susie Youssef, comedian?
8.5.
Okay, what about, he was Walter White's lawyer on Breaking Bad, Bob Odenkirk.
He's good.
In studio?
9.
Yeah, okay.
That's pretty good.
Give you some legal advice.
Yeah, that's good. Anybody else that I can bag it? What about Merrick White's? 9. Excellent.
Fair. All right.
Well, it's been a big week in Sydney, and as usual, it's time to call a meeting at the Merrickville Council Chambers to vote on which suburb gave us the best call this week. If you ever get a chance to look at the list of Men Eye's creepiest guys, you might see Shane's name on it.
Tell us, what kids' film or television show do you love?
Tinkerbell.
Tinkerbell?
Did not see that coming, Shane.
Two daughters love the cartoon movies.
And what do you love about it in particular?
I don't know.
Shane, this is a safe place, mate. You can say you're swept up in the romance of it. That's fine.
That and plus the get-up she wears.
Okay.
Speaking of creepers, Moustache Men of Lawson, beware. You may run into listener Jody, and you'll be in a bit of trouble.
I went to see one of the greatest bands in the world in 1984 for $22, and that was Queen.
Oh, $22?
And, Adele was charging like $220 for her cheapest, and she's not even that good.
Mate, if I'd have got up on stage with Freddie, I would have licked the sweat off his back as well.
Okay, all right.
Here at Merrickville, we were always under the impression that Hurstville is a pretty safe suburb to visit. That's until we heard about Mick and his 2-year-old son.
I put my young fella to work. I'm in the army, and they had all the weapons. They had open day and had all the weapons out on the table. My 2-year-old, he's a bit of a ninja. He just disappears without anyone seeing it. By the time I got to him, he picked up one of the pistols. And as I'm walking towards him, he's just turned around, and all I've heard is his click. And I'm like, well, thank God that thing's not loaded. So the first thing he decided to do when he got hold of a gun was turn around and shoot his old man.
But after hours of deliberation in the council chambers and the votes being counted, the winning suburb for this week is Blacktown. And this poor guy, Paul, making his long commute every day.
From Penrith to Maroubra, it takes about an hour and a half in the morning, 4 hours in the afternoon.
What do you do, Paul, to try and keep yourself amused in the car? Obviously, you listen to this awesome show. Probably flick around a bit and then come back. Man.
Right back, radio on, and just contemplate where it all went wrong.
Chin up, Paul. You'll be there in a few hours. Thank you for visiting Merrickville. If you missed anything during your stay, subscribe to the Merrickville podcast on iTunes or with your favourite Android app, Triple M.